Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. Oh, wait. There we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. We're recording this on Friday, February 6th, 2013. Oh, my God. 2013.
I wish.
I just had a little time warp there. I have a very.
Oh, man. Smile. I wish. God. I think, you know, I just turned 44. So what? I'm 42? Yes.
2015. A little after 3 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
I guess we're going to jump right into things this time. Last week, Yvonne mentioned, hey, we should do a lightning round kind of thing. So the fourth segment today is going to be a lightning round. And we picked three things for full-length segments today. The first is Ukraine, then we'll do a little bit on the latest ISIS developments, and then we'll talk about sort of the anti-vaccination thing that has popped up. It's been going for a while, but the last week
it's going really for a while. This last week, some yahoos coming.
And then we'll do the lightning round, and in the lightning round, we'll fit in like everything else we got. So we got, No Romney that, I mentioned. I did an insert in the show last week that about the No Romney because it happened after we recorded it before I released it.
Right. It was right afterwards. That's what I was trying to remember when it happened.
Yeah, it was like less than 12 hours after we recorded our last show. We got No Romney. We got Radio Shack. We got Argentina. We got the FCC. We got Brian Williams. We got Obama talking about crusades. We've got Anthem and probably other stuff we can think about. Oh, and as usual, I have I watched a couple movies, but I'll save those for the lightning round. And so let's get started on Ukraine. What's the new stuff this week, Yvonne?
Well, it seems like Putin was good sending troops and like supplying more weapons and steering up more more fighting.
This has been escalating, and people have been trying to pretend it's not happening because the Russians still officially deny it all.
They say that they're not doing anything.
There's no Russians in there. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know who the hell you're talking about.
But, you know, there have been missiles, there have been tanks, there have been troops. There's been plenty of evidence of this. He used to go by the pen name Brown Moses. He's an independent guy who just started. He was doing whatever, and then as a hobby, I guess he started verifying war images. And so he started this in the Syrian conflict, where people would post stuff on social media, whether it be pictures on Twitter or videos on YouTube or whatever. And then he had like a one-man little shop where he'd take these images and he'd analyze them in detail. He'd figure out where in the world they actually were using Google Earth and other tools. If there were weapons shown in them, he'd identify which weapons they were and, which weapons manufactured by who, blah, blah, blah. And he was providing a lot of that information, and he's sort of spread out a little bit. But what I follow him on Twitter, and like every day, practically, there's all kinds of additional new photographic and video evidence of Russians in Ukraine. there's like no question about this stuff. Essentially an open war going on. There's running battles all over eastern Ukraine, and it's only a facade where anybody pretends it's anything but, a direct Russian invasion. There's been some additional escalation in the rhetoric. There've been more troops flowing in. The question is, well, how is this any different than before? And there's a lot of calls for is the West ever going to do anything? And specifically, there's been a lot of talk this week about the U.S. administration actually going ahead and supplying weapons to the Ukrainian government.
Right. I had posted an article this week about, what the risk of an escalation with Russia are because of what the mentality is in Russia right now and the level of rhetoric. And it's concerning. It truly is. And I just I don't know. I think I feel like the Russians are heading towards they're sliding into a scenario that I just don't like. Okay, all right. I think that's the best way that I can phrase it. You've got an economy that is just turning to complete shit. Okay, all right. I mean, they've got borrowed time right now because they had cash in the bank, but look, that cash is dwindling fast. Okay, the ruble. Look, I talked about the ruble months ago. 20, 30. It's up to 80, for God's sakes. Okay, this isn't just a matter of a few months. The ruble has like declined in value, like, you know, 400, 500, almost 400%. It's causing widespread shortages, inflation. You know, they said, you know, that in the last quarter, $80 billion left the country. Okay, in one quarter. It's just so much stuff, and then Putin is like doubling and tripling down on this, and the propaganda in Russia is that it's all our fault. We're the ones that are doing this. We are, you know, attacking Russia, and we've created this situation, and we're all the bad guys in this case. About this.
And I mean, in continuing, not just, I mean, you've had the argument for a while that, of course, the US and Europe, et cetera, were very actively encouraging Ukraine to move westward prior to all of this happening. And I think there's a good deal of truth to that. We were, you know?
Yeah. But we did that with almost every country. Listen, it's not even like we were, look. Almost every country behind the Iron Curtain after the Soviet Union fell wanted to move westward, okay? And we obviously encouraged it at the same time, but it's not like we forced it. They wanted to, okay? So this is not something new. Now, the problem is that when Putin came back into power, one of his things had been to restore Russia to where he believed and, you know, was where they were. So a superpower where they were before the collapse of the Soviet Union. And this, you know, allowing Ukraine to further shift their economy to not depend on Russia, and that they are able to have better ties with Western Europe and stuff, to him was just... It was an attack on what he thought was what he was trying to do in terms of reinforcing Russia's standing in the world. And yeah, as we probably didn't perceive it with the level of importance that he did, I think that to him, it's one of those things where to us, it's just like, oh, great, beautiful, you know, yeah, you know, let's trade. Let's do this. Let's do that. Whatever the heck you want to do.
Well, and by the way, I would be shocked if we weren't doing sort of behind the scenes spycraft kind of stuff to push things in this direction more than would happen naturally. But, you know, again, it's the difference between sort of non-violent ways to make this happen versus reacting violently. But of course, the fundamental Putin perception is Ukraine belongs to Russia. Whatever the legalities of it, it was part of the Soviet Union. It is in the Russian sphere. The West has no business there.
Right.
And that any of these types of moves, essentially, you know, Ukraine having an election and electing a pro-Western government is a direct assault on Russia.
That's
because
it's
in the Russian sphere of influence. And so therefore, you know, he's going to defend that and he's going to go after it and he's going to react with whatever means are necessary to bring Ukraine back into the fold.
Right.
You know, and I think that, you know, obviously that started with Crimea. Obviously, it's continuing in eastern Ukraine. I have no doubt whatsoever that Putin wants all of Ukraine.
Whether or not
you know he would settle for less, I don't know. But I don't. He wants the whole thing. He wants it all back how it was.
Listen. This trying to take over Ukraine, my opinion, would be even worse than them going into Afghanistan. I mean, Ukraine is a lot bigger country, a lot more people, a lot more resources, and they see the Russians as invaders, okay? They really do. Okay,
at least in the western part of Ukraine, there's a
But most of the population. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't pockets that they'll think that don't want to be part of Russia. It's like us in the United States. I mean, we're not homogeneous in our perspective. But the vast majority of Ukrainians, they see Russia as an enemy. And I mean, to have them, like, if they launched a full scale invasion, look, Russia, you know. I've said before, Russia's on a track to go to bankruptcy. You want to accelerate the bankruptcy? Launch a full scale invasion. But that'll get them bankrupt soon. The thing is that the other day were the article I shared, which is on my Twitter feed about this, was the West had been considering basically almost exacting a financial death penalty on the Soviet Union. Okay. By kicking the Soviet banks all out of the SWIFT banking system. SWIFT banking is really, you know, we don't move cash anymore. SWIFT is the system that allows money to be transferred between banks amongst countries. I mean, if you're kicked out of that, you're basically, I mean, you can't transact anything, okay? You're back to hauling cash, okay? And there was a consideration towards doing that. It said in the article that Medvedev said that if this happened, okay, it would trigger an unrestricted retaliation and not just economically. Those are the words he used.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's one hell of a reckless statement. Okay. Now, like I said, I mean, we do that. I mean, Russia's back in the Stone Age. I mean, it's like almost like game over. I mean, I don't know what, you know, we came out of that banking system. What the hell are they going to do? I mean, literally, I mean, you're back to hauling sacks of cash. I mean, inflation in Russia is going to go out of control in 2 seconds.
So aside from the economic bits,
if you remember the one thing that I said about earlier, that we've pushed them really hard, that we almost pushed them to the brink. Okay. All right. And I'm a little bit concerned about that. Okay.
So this leads into the other question here, and I think I know your answer based on what you're saying. So these moves to arm Ukraine, good idea or bad idea?
I don't know.
See, I'm surprised you just didn't say bad idea, because it's fundamentally an escalation from our side if we do that.
I realize that, but at the same time, if the Ukrainians are asking for weapons or being attacked by Russia, do we just sit on our hands and not giving anything?
Well, I mean, this is the fundamental thing that people are talking about. I mean, the question is, you know, if we start pumping weapons in there, here are a couple things that are going to happen. One is an escalation of the situation. Secondly, almost certainly, adding weapons into a war zone results in more dead people. You know, we will
typically is the case.
We will increase the total death toll in Ukraine. Now, you know, yes, is the alternative we do nothing and we slowly watch Putin roll across Ukraine? Maybe
if so,
you know, do we go? I mean, your statement is if they do that, it's going to be worse than Afghanistan for them. They're going to end up regretting it. But does that take 15, 20, 30 years? I mean,
who knows?
You know,
I mean, I don't know.
On the other hand, if we go in there and start feeding weapons into there and then the Ukrainians are still losing, you know, the next call is going to be direct intervention on our part. And do we do that? You know, does NATO go in to defend
Ukraine?
Well,
that would be
Ukraine?
The next call. But that's what I said. We never went in directly into frickin' Afghanistan.
No.
Or a lot of other places that I can imagine.
During the Russian part, we went there later.
Right. No. Yeah. But we didn't go there directly during that period.
No.
I mean, we've done this before many times, or we've given weapons, we haven't gone in directly.
I mean,
a lot of times.
It was the standard mode of operation throughout the Cold War, and yes, we had.
Maybe that's what Putin wants.
We had things like, and while we certainly had things like Afghanistan and Nicaragua and places where it was completely proxy, you know,
maybe that's what he wants.
We also we also had Vietnam, you know, so
right.
I'd say, yeah, we're out of time on this. Say my bottom yep. line on it is I would be extremely cautious of, I don't think we should put more weapons into there. And
I don't think that we can turn down a request by them. If they ask for weapons, we could just go and say no and let them be just slaughtered. I don't see how we turn it down. I agree with your statement about
well,
it.
See, here's the thing.
I don't see how you tell them no.
Here's the thing. I think there would be more slaughter if we gave them weapons because it would make it last longer. And I think you'd probably actually have less people end up dead if you just said, okay, Russia, you can
I
have Ukraine.
I think that those guys are willing to sacrifice their lives in order to not be, you know, invaded by Russia is the thing.
And that's true, but do we have to help? Is it really our business?
I think that if we didn't, we're going to – it would be – I mean, they would certainly take – I mean, I think that if we don't and they're asking for it and we don't, I mean, our credibility with them shrinks to zero. That's my concern.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
I mean, the Ukrainians are going to be like, Jesus, you know, we asked for your help. You've been – like whatever, and now you turn your backs on us? How's that come out? I don't like that outcome either. I don't like either of scenarios. Can I be honest? This is like – you know, pick which poison you like.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, I can certainly see that viewpoint. Yeah,
I don't like either of them. I don't. But I just don't see that if we get a direct request from them for that.
Well, they really say no. There's no if. I mean, they've been requesting weapons, you know, from the very beginning.
I know. And I think that it's reaching a point where we're not going to be able to just say no.
Okay, we'll see. We're over time for this segment. We'll take a break. We'll be back and we'll talk about the other war zone, ISIS. Back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah, back.
ISIS. Killed some Japanese folks, killed a Jordanian pilot. They released video of them like they usually do. The new twist was the Jordanian pilot, instead of beheading him, they burned him to death. But all of these things have shock value because they're on video and because we see them and blah, blah, blah. You know, they've killed many, many thousands of people in many different brutal ways. And, you know, frankly, you know, so have we in various war, you know, with our drones and various other things. So I back away from the folks who concentrate sort of on the method that they killed somebody or the fact that they killed one or two people. But the bottom line is, you know, they are doing these things specifically not because, you know, hey, it's, you know, number of people killed or anything like that. They're doing it specifically for the shock value to, you know, piss more people off, apparently. And I don't know the exact motivation there because they've got to know some of the reaction that comes from this. For instance, they killed the Jordanian pilot and now all of Jordan is up in arms looking for revenge. And in fact, this in the last few hours launched a whole bunch of airstrikes themselves against ISIS positions. And obviously, the reason they had a pilot in the first place was Jordan was participating in some of these activities. But they've escalated, and the king of Jordan has said things like, you know, I forget the exact quote, but basically, we're all, you know, translated, we're all in, we're going to give this everything we will have, we are going to throw everything that we can possibly throw at them until they're defeated. You know, so does that actually help ISIS? I guess it depends what their goals are.
I think their goals just seem to be brutality and just, you know, shock value. I mean, that's what it looks like. I mean, what else are they doing? I mean, they're going around, they're doing mass slaughters, they go in to execute foreigners, and they send them videos of, look how we killed your guy. I mean, really? I mean, how does that... I mean, you're just trying to piss off as many people as possible so they come back and kill you? I mean, you got the Japanese, who usually are not saber rattlers, saying that they're...
Oh, yeah, the Japanese prime minister was also talking about how... You know, this will not be forgotten, and we will, you know, and I'm like, you know, the Japanese have a pacifist constitution and aren't allowed to do stuff. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if we find out there are Japanese airstrikes happening, too.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm like, I don't know what the hell they're strategy. I mean, if they're a strategy, I mean, I don't understand a strategy. I gotta admit. I mean, this is not a strategy to. I mean, you want territory, you want certain stuff, whatever.
I mean, the only thing I can go for here is
just,
by
just brutal
by,
pricks.
Well, by the fact they're doing all these things and showing that we haven't been able to stop them. You know, they're still killing these foreigners and Westerners almost every week.
Yeah,
you know. They're showing that they have the ability, you know, asymmetric as things are, they have the ability, you know, to poke the rest of the world in the eye and say, you know, we are in control here. We are, we've got this area we control. We're expanding. We've got these people, and there's not a damn thing they can do about it. And by that, they're showing their strength in a way that they hope will get additional recruits. And one of the things I've been hearing a number of people talk about are, you know, how, you know, ISIS itself has been fairly localized. However, they've always, from the very beginning, said they have global ambitions. And so now they're, you know, there's some talk about connections and support that they're giving to Boko Haram. In Nigeria, you know, and these are very tenuous. Like the person I was listening to talk about this said, you know, the primary evidence was Boko Haram upping their media game and producing videos that are closer to what ISIS does. You know, and that's fairly tenuous, but like they've got global ambitions, whether or not they're capable of them. And I think one of the goals here is to show themselves as strong enough that they can attract followers, not just locally in their area, but all over the world. People who see these videos,
I know they go over there and they join them.
Not even going over there. I mean, you know,
attacks in other places.
Like the inspiring the people in France who did those attacks. That the attack in Australia last month. You know, motivating people in the UK and here and in Nigeria and everywhere to just say, hey, look, if they're doing that, maybe we can do that too. And it's not necessarily aimed at sort of, you know, get everybody to fly to Iraq and join them there, but more, you know, sort of a transnational global motivate people to rise up kind of thing. And I don't know if that's the case or not. I've heard that line of speculation, so I'm throwing it out there. But when you try to figure out,
I think it makes sense
because otherwise, it is like what you said. It's just like, let's do things that piss people off and make them more likely to squash us.
Well, I get that. That's maybe their strategy, which you said. But at the same time, I think you get certain people to rise up, but I don't see how this is a good, viable long-term strategy. Can I be honest? I think they wind up with more repulsion and like hatred than they are winding up with support. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We want to show that we are have impunity. We want to show that. We want to show it in the most brutal way to everybody in the world. But when you wind up going and like doing like what they did, burning that guy alive and showing it on video, right? What do they wind up doing? How many supporters versus how many people hatred, you know, how much violent hatred they got? What's the balance on the balance sheet? I think they got a lot more hatred and like attitude and disposition to go and like obliterate them than they actually got supporters to say, oh, yeah, look at ISIS. I want to join them right now.
Yeah, I'll take that snippet right there that you just said and, you know, just post it by itself everywhere. Because I heard you say it, Yvonne.
Oh, yeah. Great. Oh,
I'm going to send that straight to the NSA. Man, sure maybe the FBI.
Got it at this point.
Maybe the FBI.
Yeah. Yeah, shit. I mean, I just, you know, I mean, that's just my, I don't see how this strategy is effective overall. So,
and also I should say we've also had a number of American politicians talking about how they feel there'll be an inevitable need for American ground troops in this conflict. And of course, there already are some.
I mean, it's just the question is how many.
And in what capacity? Like right now, we're
right.
Yeah, the people on the ground are like quote unquote advisors, and we've probably got some special forces doing spotting to call in airstrikes and things like that.
Right.
But we don't have like tens of thousands of troops just going in there and trying to take. Overland.
Look, depending on what the net result is of what happened this week, and especially the escalation that the Jordanians, some other people did. Seriously, depending on that, it depends on what we wind up doing on the other end. I think that there may be a turning point in terms of the support that we needed from the countries that surrounded there to freaking just finally just put the hammer on these people and end this. Okay, I really do. That was my thinking when I saw this happen. So I may be wrong, but I think that this may you know, at least this phase where they've got this territory that they're controlling, where they're using this operation and creating this may be the deciding factor that really pushes them, you know, into that may hasten their end sooner rather than later. That was my thought. I may be wrong, but that was my thinking when I saw this whole thing.
I don't know. I mean, I think that maybe you'll get. I mean, they keep doing things that are inciting people against them, essentially. But you still have this sort of threshold of, you know, who is willing to sort of go all in here? Because they're in Syria, they're in Iraq.
Well, the Syrians are all in. Of course, you know, we've been, you know, I know we haven't been really backing them. But if we. You know, what if we Syria?
The Syria and Iran both, you know, consider ISIS a mortal enemy as well.
Exactly.
And of course, there've been sort of some wink, wink, nudge, nudge, non-formal coordination, but not really. Like we're not actually talking and coordinating, but you know, we see what they do, and we do things that. Go together, sort of, I mean, you could definitely see that of okay, let's all just whack them, you know. But nobody's willing quite to go there yet, nobody's willing to really commit the level of resources needed that would actually bring this to an end. Because I mean, yeah, we're not talking a small amount here. I mean, there's a significant number of people over a significant amount of territory, taking control of all that territory is no small feat.
No, it isn't.
I mean, we'd be talking a major war here. This would not be something that gets done, you know, in a couple weeks.
No. So, but Well, but look, the situation right now, I think if you take the bottom line, is that I don't think they did themselves any favors this week. Okay. I think that, you know, I really think that they probably earned themselves a level of hatred that they had not gotten from people to this level up until like now. Okay. Their neighbors. So let's see what comes of it.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's my bottom line. It's a continuing mess. I don't think they did themselves any favors either. But I don't think you're going to see an immediate sea change in what's going on here, except perhaps, you know, Jordan's really picked up their involvement, and that may make a difference. We'll see. We'll see how long it lasts, too. I mean, most of these militaries in the region aren't really capable of long sustained actions, but we'll see. Okay, we'll take another break. We'll be back, and we'll talk about anti-vaxxers and stuff.
Back and after stuff. This. Stuff.
Stuff.
Ready for the test, Dracula? I'm ready. Frankenstein, then. Let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
And we're back. Okay, so this thing with vaccinations, so it's been a sort of a background thing that we've been hearing about for years. I mean, we have Jenny McCarthy, and we've got all this stuff, you know, with people making the argument that vaccines are dangerous in some way, that they cause autism, that there are other complications, and that, you know, you shouldn't give your kids vaccinations, basically.
Right.
Let me start out with, these people are idiots.
Yep.
You know, they're, first of all, the connection with autism that keeps getting brought up has been disproved time after time after time after time. No such connection. Period. End of story. Okay? Second, yes, they're, like with any thing you could possibly take, there are occasionally complications, and occasionally they can be serious. But by occasionally, I mean a really, 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 really tiny chance that's much smaller than the chances of the
diseases that they protect you.
Yes. So the trade-off is clear. Everything you possibly do at any time in your life has some risks. You know, any medication you take has some risks, and some people occasionally react badly to them. But you got to look at the pros and cons of every situation. And in this case, it's infinitesimal chance of some very serious complication versus much larger chance of potentially catching a dread disease. But even more to the point here, and this is where some of the argument comes in, a lot of the protections against these diseases are not really on an individual basis. It relies on a very large proportion of the population being immunized in order to protect against the spread of a disease. So, you know, I've seen a number of simulations here that, for instance, with measles, to have effective population immunity against measles, you have to have north of 90% immunization in the population. Once you start getting below 90%, the chances of outbreaks increase dramatically. Mm. And so part of this is that it's a collective thing where if you are an unimmunized person, you're not just putting yourself at risk, you're putting at risk everybody around you, potentially. And specifically, even more so, there are a small number of people that for legitimate medical reasons cannot get the vaccination. That's true of very young children, and it's true of certain other people who have certain issues. So all of this, the bottom line is, the smart thing to do is to be immunized, get your kids immunized, and spread that as much as possible. If you're not getting immunized, you're being stupid. However, there's this core group of people who are sort of saying the opposite, who are loud about it. And apparently there's enough of them at this point in the United States that, you know, we had essentially, for instance, for all intents and purposes, eliminated measles in the United States. There were still a very small number of cases each year, but compared to before the vaccine was developed, hundreds of thousands of cases a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that trend has been reversing. I mean, it's still a very small number of cases, but we're way up from where we were a few years ago. And it's almost entirely due to the fact that a whole bunch of people are now not getting their kids immunized because they're scared of the immunizations. And so this has come up in the news because there's been a few recent measles outbreaks. And so this week, specifically, a bunch of politicians decided they had, for one reason or another, they decided to comment on it. And several, you know, stuck their foot pretty far in their mouth.
Oh, my God. Yes, they did.
By saying things that lent credibility to the anti-vaccine position. Now, I will say you can potentially have a legitimate debate should it be mandated by law? Should the government force people to get this vaccination who don't want it? Now, you can have a little bit of a debate there, and I can respect people who are willing to have that specific debate, but only... Yeah, but I can't respect the people who sort of give any credence whatsoever to the folks who think it's a bad idea to get vaccinated. It's not a bad idea to get vaccinated.
I think the reason why it's by law in many places has to do a lot with protection of public health. Yes. And I think that the government for many years has been charged with that protection. It's why, for example, we have fluoride in our water in many places and other things.
Oh, don't even get to the people
I know. And I'm like, you know, I was looking at a statistic the other day that shows like in the United States now that it used to be like of adults over 50, 60 years of age, like over 70% didn't have any other teeth. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that number is like now the opposite. It's like over 70% do have their teeth.
Right.
It's stuff like that. There are subsequent a substantial number of health problems associated with not having your teeth. I mean, there's a cause of death, infections, other things. So you do these things that are, that the government does because public health has been a charge of government since we created a government. So you start questioning whether you should have a government in the first place. And I'm like, look, if you've got a government and they're in charge of public health, having vaccinations is one of the things that you put out there because it prevents mass cases of people getting sick.
Well,
it's as simple as that.
I'll tell you my position on this is I will respect the people who say government should not be able to force people to take medicine they don't want. However, I look at this as an extension of the notion that your rights to swing your fist end at my face.
Right.
And that if you, this is an area where modern medicine gives us all kinds of wonderful things. you know? And yes, you could say the sort of default scenario is back where we were 200 years ago. But as far as I'm concerned, if you do not get vaccinated, then you are putting me at risk. You are putting my children at risk. And therefore,
right,
there has to be a compromise there. And maybe we don't have to force you to take that medicine that you don't want. But I'll tell you what, if you don't get your kid vaccinated, I don't want them in my kid's school.
Right. I don't want them there.
You know,
absolutely.
If you're not vaccinated, I don't want you in the same mall I'm at. You know?
Right.
And, you know, this varies, of course, from disease to disease. But I'm reading some of the things specifically about measles, which is contagious through the air, highly contagious. Like, we had all these people freaking out about fucking Ebola that's really hard to catch.
Right.
You know, a few months ago with measles.
We made a lot of fun of them here.
With Ebola, you have to, you know, touch their bodily secretions. You have to touch their blood. You have to be in direct physical contact and close contact. Okay, with measles, you know how close you have to be? Do you have to, do they have to cough on you? No. You know, if you are in the same room as someone who had measles 2 hours, no, not in the same room while they're there. If you go into a room they were in 2 hours previously, you can catch measles from them. You know,
not good.
And so, you know, look, we're not having a major outbreak right now, but that's what, if you have significant numbers of people not getting the vaccination, you're just asking for us to go back to the situation we were in decades ago with these kinds of diseases. And no, it wouldn't happen overnight. But these are preventable. This is a fucking preventable disease. There is no reason anybody should be getting measles today. You know, and so, I'm not saying I would arrest everybody and throw them away and set up leper colonies of unvaccinated people. But we absolutely positively, the responsible thing to do is at the very minimum, we should be encouraging everybody to get their vaccinations. We shouldn't be giving the time of day to people who are giving misinformation about the benefits and of vaccinations compared to the really tiny risks and who are blowing the risks out of proportion. We should, and this is where I think, there was specifically a lot of attention on some of the Republican candidates this time around, Rand Paul made some statements that he then later walked back a little bit to say, no, I didn't mean to imply there actually was a connection between, mental health issues and vaccines, just that I'd heard people talking about it. And by the way, I'm getting my own vaccination right now. I'm getting a booster shot today. You can watch me do it. Vaccines are good. And I'm glad he said that eventually, but before he did that, he was pandering to these anti-vaccine nuts. And it's like, why? To give him credit, Bobby Jindal came out and said, stuff that made vaccines on right away. A bunch of Republicans have. The leader in the Senate, what's his name? Reed? No, Reed's the Democrat, right? Well, whatever. One of these guys came out and said, I had polio. Vaccines are wonderful, there's another disease that's been essentially completely eradicated, not quite 100%, but damn close.
McConnell.
Yeah, there you go. And all of these things, it's like, you can say, some people have their right to do some level of refusal, whatever, but don't give a time of don't pander to them. And I don't even know why the Republicans were bothering to pander to them, because frankly, from
I have no idea either.
From surveys I've seen, most of the anti-vaxxers are radical liberals. You know, right. Actually, I've seen some other states says it's actually fairly well distributed. It is so far not been something that lines up on liberal conservative lines. They're just a bunch of idiots who don't believe in vaccines across the political spectrum. So the last thing we possibly need is to get this politicized so that suddenly people start believing that to be a good Republican, they can't get vaccinated. That would be a disaster. So thank you for all the Republicans who actually have jumped in and, you know, said vaccines are good. But any of them who spent even a fraction of a second pandering to the anti-vaccine nuts, you know, shame on you. And I understand Rand Paul sort of, you know, saying that I don't think that government should force people to do it. I understand that sentiment, but you have to balance it off against the public health. I'm sorry. Okay, we're out of time for this segment. If I didn't bring the bell already, we'll be back after this break with a new thing for us. We're going to do a lightning round. It's going to be fun. Back after this.
Information.
Okay, we're back. So let me say how this is going to work. We're going to do 2-minute timers for each subject we bring up. We're going to try to keep the whole segment to 15 minutes, but 2-minute timers for each thing. And we'll go through that list beginning.
We can stop early. We don't have to.
If we're done talking, we don't have to fill the 2 minutes. But you know, right. You're talking about you and me, Yvonne.
I don't know, but we'll see what we do.
Okay, so here we go. First, and I've got a timer here. It won't be the bell. It'll be the little iPhone ring, but here we go. And I'm going to start out with my movies. So here we go. First one. Okay, first movie I watched was Basic Instinct 2. Not the original Basic Instinct.
Oh, my God. Why were you watching that?
Well, because... once again, for whatever reason, I'd watched the original a couple months ago, so the sequel was on my list, so I had to watch the sequel.
Wait a minute, why did you watch the original in the first place? It was on that list of movies?
Oh, no, it wasn't on the best movies list. It was on another list I have of, like, movies that at one point or another I've been like, I should watch that, because I'd never actually seen it when it was out in the theaters and stuff, and it seemed like a hole in my cultural knowledge.
Didn't I invite you to go see it with me? I guess you didn't.
No.
I saw it. I mean, I liked the first movie.
Yeah, I thought the first movie was okay. I don't think it has a big reputation. I'm not sure it quite deserved that, but it was okay. It was okay. As I said on my review of that one, like, you know, it had, you know, the primary, like, calling card was like the sex scenes and stuff, and right. What, you know, in this world of easily accessible internet porn. It's not quite the same shock value as it had in the 80s
right.
or whatever.
But I think that the whole drama of it was, but the second one was terrible.
It was whatever. I wouldn't call it terrible.
It was
terrible.
Would I ever watch it again?
No, I'll never watch it again. But it wasn't the kind that fully occupied my attention either. Like, I watched it in the background while I was doing something else. Like, if a movie is really good and I'm trying to do something, I'm trying to watch it in the background, I can't, because I keep getting drawn towards it and then I have to watch it and I can't do the other thing at the same time. This did not fall into that category. It was happily in the background.
Yeah. I kind of expected that.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay. That was number one. Slightly under 2 minutes there. Starting a timer again. I actually did have a second movie. I watched this thing that I received in the mail in 2008. Because it's a movie from 2005 called Obsession, Radical Islam's War Against the West. And apparently a right-wing group during the lead-up to the 2008 election mailed out like millions of these things all across the country as bulk mail. And I got it, and I've saved it ever since, and I actually watched it this week. It's basically a documentary about, well, radical Islam, and the first half of it, you know, seemed okay. Like, they start out with a nice disclaimer saying, we're talking about radical Muslims here. We're not talking about the vast majority of Muslims who are, you know, wonderful, upstanding people, whatever. And then it, you know, it showed, you know, a bunch of real live clips of, you know, things that some radical Muslims were saying and doing, and they were kind of disturbing. But the further along it went, the more it sort of dived into pure propaganda, because it started getting into the, you know, trying to paint this not just as, you know, the threat that it is. I mean, the I don't disagree that these are bad guys, but started to sort of imply that it's, you know, a world-shaking clash of civilizations, comparing them to the Nazis, you know, basically trying to drum up the level of anxiety and fear about this. It was funny. At one point they were talking about how there's radical Islamic propaganda talking about how evil the West was, and I'm like, do you have no self-awareness whatsoever? Because this is propaganda in the other, in the exact
opposite. What
you're
saying about them, you idiots.
Yeah. Anyway, my time is up on that one. Neither of these two movies would I recommend. There's no need to watch either of them. Okay, next on the lightning round. And maybe we'll both have something to say about this one. Here we go. Romney's out. He teased us for 3 weeks, and then he's out.
He's just completely out. And I mean, I thought he'd said he was like doing the study of the exploration of the thing and the thing, and he's out.
And what happened clearly... I tweeted several articles about this, and there were a bunch more about it. Basically, he went into this, and all kinds of people were like, yeah, this is possible, we could do it, but we're not all that excited about it. Are you sure you want to do it? And some of his key aides are like, you know, this is nice, but I'm going with Bush.
And some outwardly, you know... I mean, the Wall Street Journal, the Rupert Murdoch were like downright. Oh my God.
They were
like, you suck. Don't do this. Forget it.
Oh, yeah. There were huge portions of the Republican Party that were very much against this. Now, in all the actual polls and stuff, he was doing fine. He was at the head of the pack.
But it was really the money people who were the
exactly.
ones that were
this
telling
not,
him.
This was not at all. About whether the public, or even the Republican public, the primary voting Republican, would have gone with Romney. It's not about that at all. It's about the money people, and it's about the key staffers, and enough of them were saying, no, we're going with someone else, that Romney was like, you know, maybe I'm not going to do it after all. The one thing that surprised me is that he was surprised by this. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because he was surprised that he lost in 2012. And he shouldn't have been surprised by that. But like, you know, this was completely predictable. I thought when he started saying he was running that he knew all this. He knew there'd be a significant part of the Republican Party against it, and he was going to do it anyway. And, you know, he might have been able to pull it out. It would have been hard, but he might have been able to do it. There's the 2 minutes. But, you know, nope. He's like, forget it, I'm out. And big boon to Bush and some others in the race. Yep. Okay, next subject. Timer is started. The next subject is Radio Shack.
I realized that even more today, even like Steve Wozniak had to say, as it went and said, man, you know, this is like... I mean, I learned about computers and stuff at the store. I mean, I got so much stuff.
Not the very first computer, but the first computer I spent significant amounts of time on was a TRS-80.
the first computer I spent significant time on again was the TRS-80. I mean, it was the place to go learn about this stuff. It was the only store. I mean, forget about the Apple store back then. I mean, this was it, man.
And of course, Radio Shack to this day, although they really have deteriorated in the last few years. But within the last year, I have gone to Radio Shack because it was, you know, it was in the evening and I needed a cable and I needed a cable right now. And I wasn't going to wait for 2 days for beep. And so I went to the Radio Shack because I knew it was the only physical store that I would go to that would have that specific cable that I wanted. And, you know, that's going to be gone because they no longer had the really obscure stuff that they might have had in the 70s and 80s.
Right. They didn't have their 90s, kits and stuff.
But they still had more than, like, if you go to a Target or something, you know, or a Best Buy or any of those, that Radio Shack would still have more obscure electronic equipment. And they still, of course, they still had the rack of resistors in the back, even though hardly anybody used it anymore. And it's sad that that's going to be gone, but Radio Shack's been on a long, long, long decline.
It's been, I mean, geez, ever since they got out of the computer business and, you know, they've done a whole bunch of changes and things and whatever, and they stopped making, you know, because the thing about Radio Shack, you understand, Radio Shack used to manufacture, quite a lot of different electronics. And at some point, they stopped doing that, and
we're done with our 2 minutes. I guess we should have said the one sentence. They officially declared bankruptcy
bankruptcy.
They're getting today. Rid of a bunch of their stores, and
the rumor is they're going to sell them all off and shutting them down. So
well, their Sprint's apparently going to come in and run some of them, and they're beep. Rumors about beep. Some company. I'll have to bleep that out. Who knows what the details? The bottom line is, you know, even if some ghost of them continues to exist for a very short period, it's a very short period. They're on their way out.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay, it's done. Next 2 minutes. Here we go. Argentina.
Well, so the big thing about Argentina was, okay, we talked about this. There was this prosecutor investigating this Jewish center bombing that happened about 20 years ago that Sam had no recollection whatsoever. And I don't know if any reading about this made you jog your memory. No? About it this week?
I read a little bit about it this week.
But okay, did it jog your memory about when that happened? Because it was big in the news back then? No. Okay. Well, anyway, the thing is that the prosecutor, there was this prosecutor investigating this case right now. The investigation had picked up a lot of steam. All of a sudden, the prosecutor, they find him dead in his apartment. He's dead. Okay. First, some people are saying it was a suicide. There was no evidence, as far as we know, there was a suicide. But then, to make it even better, apparently somebody that went going through the place, they found that the investigator had drafted an arrest warrant for the president of Argentina and for the secretary of state.
Right.
Although
apparently they were drafted a while ago and it was unclear whether he was actually going to do anything with them, but
yet he did. And he's dead. So the rumor mill of conspiracy and that he was assassinated by the government, I mean, that just went into super-duper high gear. Now, the president of Argentina, who happened to be, well, this was revealed in a trade mission to China, basically just said a whole bunch of undecipherable gibberish on Twitter that nobody really understands what the fuck she was talking about. That's been her reply so far. She's refused to talk to anybody about it. She's refused to make any statements. She's refused to just take any questions. I don't know what you could take from that. I would say that, you know, a number of people said that if that were to happen, which I guess in Argentina, instead of like the impeachment process or that kind of stuff, apparently the president could have been arrested. The kind of constitutional crisis we're talking about was without precedent, basically.
Okay. Next topic. FCC and net neutrality. So the FCC commissioner announced this week that he is going to reclassify broadband providers as utilities. And not only wired, but also wireless. And that's his intention, which is basically what Obama said he wished he would do a month or two ago. And we'll see. I'm sure there will be, you know, a gabillion lawsuits on this and other stuff happening.
Look, I honestly, where we are at right now technologically, if we regulated landlines the way we used to regulate them, honestly, those two services almost need to. If you were okay with regulating telephone, you know, service as we regulated before that way, then almost you have to do the same thing with wireless and broadband. That was my thinking.
Well, we're not necessarily talking back to AT&T monopoly days. We still regulate landline phone service that way.
Correct. Even till today, we still do. We have funds to integrate to create access to everybody. So extend of telephone lines to people no matter where they are. And one of the problems that we have right now is that we have very unequal internet access throughout the country, and that really impacts people's ability right now to get an education and to further their, you know, to improve their living standards. And I mean, unless
I've said before. I actually think I'm generally wary of government regulation, and I think there's all kinds of places where they could and probably will fuck this up. But I actually think at this point it's better than the alternative in terms of what's developing, because I think there's a clear market failure here in terms of broadband providers.
Absolutely.
Other thing I should mention is they're also changing the definition of broadband from 5 megabytes per second up to 25, and I'm actually a little bit bummed at this because I think I have 20, so I don't think I have broadband anymore.
I have 22. I think I don't have broadband either.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm going to have to do something about that.
I know. I was thinking about that.
Okay.
Actually, I reached out to our provider today regarding that.
Yeah, I have that on my list of things to do. Okay, next. Brian Williams.
So apparently he kind of embellished a substantial amount about a trip to
now. He says he just misremembered. He thought he really did get shot down in a helicopter in Iraq.
Well, they said that apparently they did have to make a landing, like in some kind of an emergency. But there was weather
or a dust storm or something like that.
Correct. Yes. And so, yes.
I've seen some conflicting reports. There might have been some gunfire around at some point, but his helicopter was not shot down.
By an RPG.
There was a helicopter hour or so ahead of him that was, and he talked to those people. And basically, what's happened is, in the very first time he reported this, he reported it accurately, like within a few days after it happened, and then. Over the years, the story has grown. He told about being on the one that got shot down on Letterman a few years ago, and he apparently repeated it again this last Friday on his news show because he'd been at something in Madison Square Garden where they honored one of the other people that was involved, I guess. But then the people on the helicopter...
Alzheimer's?
What?
Alzheimer's?
No, not Alzheimer's.
Well, here's the
thing.
The first time.
Right. Yeah. Well, the question is he honestly misremembering? In which case, look, get that checked out. Or was he intentionally embellishing it? I actually it was the people on the original helicopter that called him out on this and said, no, you didn't. You know, I know people make shit up all the time, but this is so obvious and so easily caught. I'm actually leaning towards believing him that he actually confused himself. But like so many people have said, look, you know, if you actually have been shot down, that's one of the most vivid memories of your life. You don't like get confused about
it. Well, here's the thing. They talk about shot down versus being in a storm and forced to land.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? Look, I wasn't there, so I don't know. I you know what? Here's the thing. Over his career, he's been a guy with very good reputation of not doing this kind of shit. I'm trying to actually give him a little bit the benefit of the doubt at this point.
Next up, Obama made a speech today at I think it was the National Prayer Breakfast, and the Dalai Lama was there and some other stuff. But one of the things he mentioned in his speech is he talked about, he was actually talking about ISIS and how they claimed to be Muslims, but they were actually corrupting the basic ideals of Islam, and they weren't true Muslims, and blah, blah, blah. And as part of this, he mentioned that, you know, people have done bad things in the name of a whole bunch of different religions, including Christianity, and he mentioned the Crusades. and the Spanish Inquisition and things along those lines, and says, you know, Christians have done bad things in the name of Christ as well. And apparently there's a whole bunch of sort of the religious conservatives who are up in arms about this.
But he's right.
He's right. I mean,
he's totally right.
And the difference is we do use different language about it. Like we when we're talking about ISIS and stuff all the time, we're talking about radical Islam, radical Muslims, Islamicists, whatever, you know. And by comparison, when people, you know, in the 80s were bombing abortion clinics, we typically didn't call them Christian terrorists, you know, but that's what they were. When the IRA was doing things in Ireland and England, we would say, Irish terrorists. It was very rare that you'd hear it talk radical Catholics, Catholic terrorists, whatever. We just don't usually use that language, but it's perfectly accurate. And the KKK, we don't usually call them, Protestant terrorists, but that's what they were. And so you see all of that kind of stuff, and certainly, there are probably more people killed in the history of this planet in the name of Jesus Christ than any other person.
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't make it right, but I mean, you can't hide from the truth. I mean, you certainly ask most Christians and they would say, that's not what Christ stands for, but nevertheless, there were many, many wars done in the name of Christ.
Say the same thing about Islam.
Yeah.
So,
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. People have trouble when, people get all resistance and say, well, you're using a false equivalency. Well, no,
Not really.
I mean, no. There are radical Muslims, but most Muslims are not. There are radical Christians. Most Christians are not.
Those are not.
And yes, when you're talking about war, the enemy kills people, but guess what? So do we. And killing isn't pleasant, no matter who. If you're the one being killed, you don't really care who's killing you. You just care that you're being killed. And you're not going to have fun with it. Probably.
Usually we don't.
Usually. I would hope.
I would.
Anyway. Okay, 1 more 2 minutes. We're past our 15 minutes, but we got 1 more 2 minute thing. Here we go. Anthem, the health company, hacked medical data, leaked. I haven't really dug into this. It's just another example of this. We get them out every other week now.
They said it was like information like addresses, names, social security numbers, that kind of stuff. It did not include... medical records. Yes, it
did. That'll be next time, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I think like you're mentioning about this. I was having a discussion about this week about the fact that all companies seem to not really give a shit about security.
Yeah,
and no matter how many hacks have happened, they still won't spend a dime on it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Talking to customers. And they don't seem to give a shit. It's just appalling to me. I don't get it. I don't think they see an ROI to it. I guess they think, if it happens, it happens.
And we'll probably have insurance for that.
Right, or something like that. And they just would rather not be proactive and spend money to protect themselves. Because a lot of this stuff that's happening... Most of these, like we found out, the social engineering and other stuff and whatever, you could do so many things to avoid a lot of this shit, like two-factor authentication, other things or whatever that would reduce this the likelihood of somebody being able to get in. Everything could be compromised, but it still reduces it if you use secure ID, two-factor authentication, all these other things. But companies don't do it.
Well, and the bottom line is unless companies start taking this shit seriously and putting a significant amount of effort into it. And by the way, yes, you can do the little things you're talking about, but to be really secure, you have to do a lot more than that. And frankly, you know, if you're in order to be truly secure against like these random hackers, you have to be good enough to be secure against governments too, because there's a lot of threat that's, you know, the whole Sony North Korea thing just shows that there are government players involved in this kind of thing too. So you got to think about this, and if companies don't start taking this really seriously and throwing money into it, then the inevitable future is just, I guess we're already there to an extent, is just completely forget all those ideas you ever had about private information. Anything that's anywhere is everywhere. I mean, yep. And already, even aside from these hacks, of course, these companies are buying and selling your information left, right, and center. So the bottom line is, you know, once your information is anywhere other than, you know, the privacy of your own home, and maybe not even there, you could just got to assume everybody knows.
Right.
You know, and if you have a problem with that, well, too bad. Go back and live in the 1700s or become Amish, because that's pretty much the only way around it.
Okay. Become Amish. Okay. That's the plan. All right.
You know, it's tempting. It's tempting. They got those cool hats.
The hats. Yeah, and the little carts with the horses.
See, that would be cool. I could do that.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm sure it'll be cleaning up shit all the time.
I don't know, like, if my current employer has a good parking place for the horse, but, you know, when I do my commute, of course, my commute would turn in from an hour in the car would probably be 6 hours on the horse. But, you know, whatever, you know. Anyway, we are at the end of our show, I think, unless you have something else you want to do a quick 2 minutes on.
Nope, we're done.
We're done. So, hey, guys, we want your feedback, especially, hey. Did you like the lightning round? Should we do more lightning rounds? Or would you have rather had us talk for 15 minutes on a single topic? Let us know. I'm Abelsmay at Abelsmay.com. We're both available on Twitter. I'm at Abelsmay. Yvonne is at IMBo. We love to hear from you. As usual, tell your friends. Have them all listen to. Review us. All that other kind of stuff. You know, we always say that. Nobody does. We're so sad. We should start one of those Patreon things. Even if nobody donated to us, just being listed on there might get us more listeners.
I know. We gotta do something.
Yeah, I remember about a year and a half ago, you promised you'd do it by the end of like 2013 or something.
Yes, yes, and I'm way behind, yes. Yeah. And I still have a note on top of my desk saying that.
Anyway, have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.